live with Pastor Lou of Maryland Altar. This is the prophecy at the midnight hour, broadcasting out of Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. This is the concluding segment to Holy Fasting for the Lord. Holy Fasting for the Lord. We covered a number of scriptures last week, both Old Testament and New Testament on Holy Fasting for the Lord. And as a brief recap, the fasting in the United States, particularly in the house of the Lord, is far, far too rare and unfortunately very uncommon. And so we started the process of taking baby steps and learning how to biblically fast for the Lord so that as we humble ourselves before the Lord, sin and iniquity would be exposed. And then when that sin iniquity is exposed, we are able to repent and confess our sins before the Lord. We know that in the United States, the church fasts only when it sleeps. We see the evidence of this with carnality that has run absolutely wild. We see a decadence that is Saturnalia. It's as though every day is a Saturday in the house of the Lord. In fact, we see people going to church, and it's difficult to distinguish the children of the Lord from those that are going into the nightclubs and to the brothels because they dress the same, they act the same, and they have conformed, the Church of the United States has conformed to the standards of this world. And we know that the standards of the Lord, they change not. But we can see very clearly before our own eyes that the standards of the world do change. And that's how we have reached the point today where homosexuality at one time was looked upon as a sin in the United States of America and then reached the point of acceptability. And now it's actually being proclaimed as a lifestyle and even evangelized by political leaders in the United States of America. And so when we have churches with false teachers, false prophets, and false apostles starting up and ministering in contemporary, modern, secular type of churches, a church that conforms to the likeness of this world, to grow large congregations, large coffers, and large bank accounts, well, fasting was clearly one of the unfortunate victims of the fallen church. And without fasting, it is very, very difficult to approach the Lord in humility and for repentance. The Lord has given us fasting throughout the history of the church in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that we would humble ourselves before the Lord and then repent of our sins. So we'll do the baby steps and start with baby steps. And we've talked about a number of different addictions. So this is just with food that is unique in the American culture and in the Western culture specifically. And so we talked about the sugar, the fats, the oils, the sodiums, and the caffeines, and the sodas that make it excruciatingly difficult and uncomfortable for even a well-meaning saint with the right heart condition to try to fast for even one day, for these addictions will begin to rear their ugly heads. And it doesn't take too long to find out just how enslaved the saints are in the land of the United States of America. And in fact, most are enslaved to a myriad of addictions, sin, and iniquity, both in the house of the Lord and outside of the house of the Lord. But for those who want to embrace fasting and the ways of the Lord, the ways that He has prescribed for us, we have holy fasting for the Lord and the mighty Holy Spirit to help us overcome addictions. And as we look at the contemporary church, those that are modern, those that are conforming to the world, we see that they are overrun with addictions, as are most of the churches in the United States of America, because she has catered to the God of the flesh, and so she has sown to the wind and sown to the flesh, and she's reaping the whirlwind, and she's reaping the rotting carrion of flesh. So we'll take a look at the concluding segment, a number of other addictions, that we see in the house of the Lord with the end time saints, those that call themselves by His name, those that are pursuing holiness, even those that are pursuing righteousness. And we'll see other stumbling blocks that have come into the house of the Lord, which also make fasting very, very difficult. So we just covered the food and the food additives as an example. And also, it's not necessary to even go a full day to start with. In fact, one meal is a good start and then build from there. Too many saints come back and and say, well, we tried fasting and it didn't do very well and got very irritated and didn't even make it a day and then felt like spiritual failures. But it's not a spiritual failure to attempt fasting at all. And in fact, when we fail in fasting, take a look at that point of failure, and immediately the Lord will reveal sin in our lives that, wow, we really, really were bound up in that addiction. And that is something that the end time saint can pray to the Lord for, repent of, plead the blood of Jesus over, and then ask the mighty Holy Spirit to help overcome. Because remember, most important, and this is what the church has forgotten, that Christ did indeed overcome all sin. But He did not leave us so that we would be overcome by sin. No. As we read in Revelation chapter 2 and in Revelation chapter 3 and throughout the epistles of Paul, we have the mighty Holy Spirit to overcome sin. It's the power of the blood and the cross that changes lives. And the church in the United States has forgotten that it's the power of the blood and the cross, the mighty Holy Spirit, that delivers from oppression, that delivers from sickness, that delivers from depression, that delivers a myriad of addictions. And that's why when we see somebody meet the Lord and they cross over to Christ, oftentimes it's not unusual to immediately see many addictions immediately evaporate. And we've all been witnesses to the miraculous power of the mighty Holy Spirit when an individual crosses over to the Lord Jesus, and the blood and the cross immediately delivers of many addictions. But the church has backslidden, recycled back to sin, has become the sow that has been washed and then returned to the pig pen. We see many examples of this in Scripture as well. And the Lord warns us very sternly, just as He warned that when a man is delivered, if he returns back to his former sin, the room that is swept clean, seven more spirits, more wicked than the first, come and take residence. And the latter state of that man is worse than the former state prior to the original deliverance. That is exactly what we see in the house of the Lord today. That is exactly what we see in the church today. A backsliding that has fallen into the abyss, the quagmire, the shackles, and the enslavement to sin. And the enemy is a merciless taskmaster. And so to overcome, which was exactly what Christ commanded and still commands this day as we prepare for the coming of the Messiah, by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit, to overcome sin and not to be overcome by it, one of the primary tools in the arsenal of the saint is fasting, holy fasting unto the Lord, to humble ourselves before him that our prayers are heard, and to humble ourselves before the Lord to repent of our sins, which will be revealed while fasting. Any fast that reveals sin is a successful fast. Whether that takes many hours or many days, one thing is clear: the Holy Spirit will open our spiritual eyes and we will see where our flesh has gone completely astray and where we have fallen into sin that we need to repent of. So let's go to some specific examples on any given day for fasting. And so we've discussed the food fasting. We also have computer addictions and computer fasting. And that might sound, well, for those of us on the other side of the digital divide, that's not too much of a problem. But for over, if the numbers are anywhere near accurate, over 65% of all Americans have multiple computing devices. And that includes addictions to video games. That includes addictions to entertainment. We all know that Facebook has tens of millions of participants and that there are many houses where Facebook is running 8, 12, 16 hours a day. We have dads in their sports addictions, and then we have, of course, the entertainment and movie addictions. And so from a fasting perspective, while we're fasting the food, the computer must go, the television should go, the coffee addiction and entertainment addictions, that needs to go too during the fast. No video games or computer interactions with, as an example, Facebook, and certainly no movie addictions or sporting events and sporting addictions. And of course, the almighty cell phone that most Americans are immensely addicted to, with email, texting, and other communications. And so inevitably, when the shock hits, say, Pastor Lou, if I remove all of these things and I fast, all of these things, including the food, what do I do? This is a question that I've heard too many times, unfortunately, because it's what the question reveals, not so much the sincerity of the question. And so if we run through a daily list of addictions that we see throughout America that need to be fasted in the house of the Lord, if we have a fast and we're fasting food and we're talking about the computers, the television, the coffee, the entertainment, the video games, the Facebook, the movies, the sports, and all of these distractions that we do on a daily basis. And that's certainly not an exhaustive list of addictions, because unfortunately there are many in the house of the Lord that are also addicted to pornography. And they were looking at pornography every day and masturbation also on a daily basis, which needs to be fasted. And so the question is then, Pastor Lou, what do we do when all of these things are removed, and what do we put in its place? And that reminds and brings up the scripture in Proverbs where even a fool is considered wise when he doesn't speak. Or as Mark Twain put a spin on it, better to remain silent and let them think you are a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Because even though it's a sincere question, you know, what do we do with these things removed? What it really does, it exposes where our heart and priorities are. So in other words, if we remove these addictions from our lives, what we're hearing from many in the church, from many of those that call upon the name of the Lord, what we're really hearing is, we have no life. In other words, if you take our gods away from us, we really don't have a God in our life to fast to. And that's what the heavy heart, that's what a very heavy heart, because we have in the house of the Lord elevated computers and television and entertainment and sports and video games and applications such as Facebook and movies and cell phones. We have elevated them to godlike status. So that if we were to even have one day without them, we ask the question, what do we put in its place? What is the alternative? And that speaks to the level of idolatry in the house of the Lord. These are sincere questions, but it does sincerely expose the idolatry. The very first commandment, I shall have no false gods before us, where the church has fallen and she has false gods before her. For now that the day is open to serve the Lord, she doesn't understand at all. So let's take a look at a scripture, New Testament, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. That's 1 Corinthians verse 9, excuse me, chapter 9, verse 27. In Young's literal translation, but I chastise my body and bring it into servitude, that is, servitude unto the Lord, lest by any means, having preached to others, I myself may become disapproved. This is the mighty apostle Paul. This is Paul sharing with the church the value of fasting. There were times that Paul fasted and they were not planned fast. They were fasting from want and lack. But here, when Paul is in plenty and he's speaking to the Corinthians, and they were very wealthy and very opulent. We actually get our word Corinthian from the Corinthians, which means opulence and wealth. And here, when he's saying he needs to chastise his body fasting and bring it into servitude, lest his flesh run wild. For there is nothing worthwhile in the flesh, not one thing. The flesh from dust, the flesh that returns to the earth. We cannot worship in the flesh. And Christ tells us we worship, true worshipers worship in the spirit. The flesh is hostile to God, and the spirit is hostile to the flesh. The two are in conflict. And so we see the benefit of fasting in Paul's confession in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. The apostles fasted often to hear from the Lord and to humble themselves before him. We read also in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate now for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." That's Acts chapter 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, so what do we do when all the idols come down? And that is, we can worship the Lord and should worship the Lord while fasting. We hear again specifically from Christ, and when he is speaking about fasting, he says, don't go about like the hypocrites and the mourners with the fasting to make it look so everybody looks like you are fasting, but no, be well dressed. Don't go around looking like a religious faster to show everybody what you are doing. And the Lord was very clear on these things. This doesn't mean that it is wrong to or sin to mourn. We read in Malachi chapter 3 that the Lord notices and hears the mourners, those in sackcloth, those with ashes that are fasting. But Christ was specifically referring to those that were making a show of fasting. And so while we're fasting, one of the things that we can replace with many of the idols that we see, the television, the movies, the entertainment, the video games, Facebook, and the list goes on. That's comprehensive, by no means exhaustive. We have invented new ways of sin, it seems, as though it's almost every day in the United States of America. But the point is that we can worship the Lord while we're fasting. And we see that in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. And so during the fast, we worship and pray and sit quietly and hear from the Lord. And it is a time that the Lord will begin to show where there is iniquity in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then the believer is in a position, then the saint is in a position to repent of sin, for now the Spirit of the Lord has shown them where the iniquity is, because now the flesh has been silenced by the Spirit. That was Acts chapter 13, verse 2. And we see, again, just as a recap, another benefit of fasting in Mark chapter 9, verse 29. And he replied to them, the Lord Jesus said, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting." Mark 9, 29 says, was specifically when the disciples failed in a deliverance, or so they thought they had failed, Jesus told them, "This kind from the enemy can only be driven out by prayer and fasting." That's Mark 9:29. So we see fasting for deliverance. We see fasting for the revealing of sin. We see fasting coupled with worship, and holy fast unto the Lord is actually very, very active. It's not at all what the church has been taught, because as we look at the church in the United States of America, she has all but forgotten fasting and the ways of the Lord, for his ways are holy and righteous, and he changes not. Went through 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. And then Isaiah 58, the fasting that pleases the Lord, and that it is not a time to be a hypocrite or to strive or to be short-tempered, or as the scriptures are fairly clear in Isaiah 58, a time of yoking up servants, or in other words, driving individuals into bondage and creating bondage on other individuals. The fast unto the Lord is a fast of deliverance. It's a fast of breaking the chains. We saw this Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. Is this not the fast I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places, and shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. A mighty scripture from the Lord through his servant, the prophet Isaiah. It's chapter 58, verses 6 through 12. It's Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 12, on the fast of the Lord. We read earlier in last week or last segment that many were seeking the Lord daily. We see this in the house of the Lord. Even today, there are those that will talk a very good game and delight to know the Lord's ways, as though we were a nation and a church that actually did righteousness and not forsake the ordinance of God. Even delighting in approaching the Lord. But when we fast, we do exploit our laborers. And the Lord is clear that we are not to strive and debate and to strike with the fists of wickedness when we fast. He's very clear, and the instructions are very clear, that if we fast this way, our voices will not be heard on high. For that is not the fast that the Lord has chosen. That's Isaiah chapter 58, on the fast of the Lord. This is the heart condition and the focus of the end time saint while fasting. It's a heavenly word focus, and it leads many righteous activities to do. And so when one asks the question, well, what do we do when all of the idols are shut down for a day? It would, for one, in all sincerity, would take all day just to repent of the idols in the house, and the idols in the house of the Lord, and the idols in the house of the temple of the Lord, that is, our hearts, as we're fasting. Because in the United States, we've just run through a very short list of addictions, a comprehensive list, but not by a long shot, exhaustive list. For there are many other addictions and idols in the house outside of the computer and the television, the entertainment, the video games, the Facebook, there's the wire reading, there's news junkies and email junkies and movie junkies and, of course, sports junkies, too. And all of these have been elevated to little idols and little gods in the lives of believers that have gotten into the way of fasting for the Lord. So while we fast, not only the food and the addictions that go with them, which are obviously very difficult, they were designed to be that way by the multinational food companies so they can rake in revenue and profits, the fats, the oils, the sugars, and the caffeine. We also have the multinational corporations that have also profited immensely from creating the video games. Sony's one of the largest corporations in the world, as is Apple, as an example. They both own large entertainment houses as well as movies as well. Facebook is oftentimes in the media for being the largest IPO in the history of IPOs. And it goes on and on and on. Sports addictions and the sports marketing and the amount of revenue and money that entertainment industry makes is absolutely astonishing, particularly when you consider the only product they really produce from an economic utility value is entertainment. And that's not really much of a product, at least not a tangible one. So we live in a culture that has spawned great wealth from producing these addictions. And we can see right away, oh, there's that money at the altar again. We can see the prosperity gospel and the lie from the pit of hell yet again. And it circles right back around to manna in the house of the Lord. And we can see that the prosperity gospel and the love of money is deeply rooted in the house of the Lord, even by those that call themselves by his name, by those Christians in the United States of America. If one just looks at the list, very brief and humble list, really, of addictions that require fasting to have one's voice heard on high, the Isaiah 58 fast. We also have the Daniel 9:3 example. This is a mighty example from Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. Just two verses in Daniel 9, but the entire chapter is very powerful and gives great detail and background on fasting, the power of fasting, and how we're to approach it. So Daniel 9, chapter 9, verse 3. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. So, mighty, mighty sentence. Just one sentence. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. So I turned to the Lord. Repentance means to turn from sin and turn to the Lord. So we see immediately, first clause, so I turned to the Lord God. And then we see the action follow shortly thereafter. Daniel's focus is towards the Lord. And when we fast, that is the focus. This is not for dieting. This is not for weight loss. This is not for anything carnal whatsoever. This is a holy fast for the Lord. This is a biblical holy fast. As one starts out with one meal in the United States and then begins to build from there. This is a holy fast to the Lord. And we see Daniel turn to the Lord and then plead with him in prayer, in petition. So the foundation is clear. It's a position of humbleness. It's a position of humility. Prayer and petition to the Lord. Too often the church has been taught so many lies. There's been false pastors, false prophets, and false apostles demanding things from the Lord. We saw this example when Satan was quoting scripture to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Just cast yourself down and the angels will guard you. In essence, tempting the Lord, demanding that action be taken. And this we see in the house of the Lord all the time. We see it with the prosperity gospel. We see it with all sorts of false gospels of tempting the Lord and demanding from the Lord from a posture of equivalence. And this is blasphemy. Blasphemy from the pit of hell. We don't demand from the Lord, but we plead with him in prayer and petition. In fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. In the fasting that Daniel was performing, the holy fasting, was in sackcloth and ashes. We covered sackcloth briefly in the last segment. In sackcloth, today we have something very similar to it. It's burlap. Some sackcloth you will see in agriculture, what they use for seed. As an example, the sackcloth that we wear on the repentance call, when we gather the pastors around the United States of America, it is the type of sackcloth that you see in most people lay down in the garden. It's like a brown burlap. It's unmistakable. It's very, very cheap. And the reason behind the sackcloth is there's no magic elixir with the fabric by any means, but it's horrific looking, very uncomfortable, not stylish at all because you just cut out a head or hole for your head. The value of the sackcloth is consistent here in verse 3. The entire thread that runs through Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, is one of humility. It's one of focusing unto the Lord. We all know that clothes have a tendency to puff us up, particularly very nice clothes. And there's nothing wrong with nice clothes. But when we approach the Lord, since the flesh is hostile to the Spirit and we reach the Lord through the Spirit, it's very wise to wear a sackcloth to make certain the flesh doesn't get away and that we approach the Lord humbly. And we see this immediately where Daniel turns to the Lord, and his focus is the Lord. He's pleading, he's not demanding, he's praying and petitioning, he's not shaking his fist, he's not naming and claiming the Lord must perform or tempting the Lord. He's fasting, and this is the power of the tool of fasting the Lord has given us, it too will humble the flesh. And then sackcloth and ashes. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. And we see the conclusion of Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. We skip down to verse 20. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel. So here, the preface is clear. Daniel is speaking. He is praying. He is repenting and confessing his sin. And he is repenting and confessing of the sin of his people, Israel. Then making his request known to the Lord, my God, for his holy hill. While I was still in prayer, verse 21, Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. And so immediately, the conclusion to Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, is Daniel chapter 9, verse 23. As soon as he began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, said the angel. This is mighty, because this is exactly what the Lord said in the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son is on his way back to the father. The prodigal son comes to his senses, repents, and says, it's better at my dad's house to be a servant than it was to be where he is, slopping the pigs and eating the corn husk. And while he is on his way back, his father sees him from a distance. He's not even there yet. His father sees him from a distance and goes out to meet him. So here we see in Daniel 9:23, Daniel hadn't finished the fast. Daniel hadn't finished praying. Daniel hadn't finished petitioning. Daniel had not finished pleading. But the Lord tells us that as soon as he began to pray, a word went out, which Gabriel has come to tell him of. That's very, very encouraging and very, very powerful. That is the power of fasting, of holy fasting unto the Lord. It also speaks to the power of repentance. And so as Daniel is fasting and praying, he's repenting for his sins and for the sins of his people in Israel. And this is exactly where the United States is today. And this is why we are covering the prophecy of the midnight hour, holy fasting to the Lord. For the country is soon to come under judgment, and the word has gone out, and judgment surely will come. For our Lord is righteous, and our sins are piled high unto heaven. And the Lord is righteous. He cannot deny himself, and he cannot deny his word. And we have piled our sins to the heaven. The cup of the wrath of the Lord's indignation is spilling over. And so we fast, a holy fast unto the Lord, and pray, and repent on behalf of our sins and the sins of our nation, that perhaps the Lord's hand would be stayed. But even more importantly than wrath and the judgment of the Lord, that the children of the Lord would enter into the kingdom of God, that now they would turn from their sins and return unto the Lord. For that's the very reason that Christ came, and that we would enter into heaven. We would enter the kingdom of God. For as terrible as it would be for judgment and wrath to fall on the land, and however the Lord does that, be it a natural disaster or an internal disaster, whatever that judgment may be, as terrible as that would be, how much worse for the Messiah to have been crucified, but the church in the United States doesn't enter. For the church to have gone down the path of another gospel in the wide road and not repenting and miss entering into the kingdom of God and miss the rapture. For if the rapture came today, at this moment, Friday, August 2nd, 18 minutes after midnight, 12:18 a.m., in the United States, if this were the moment of rapture, and the Lord would call the saints home, and the Messiah, we were to meet the Messiah, and the nations were to gather, not many from the United States would gather with the nations before the Messiah. One only needs to look back after 9/11 and what the churches looked like then. And after that week, the churches were packed out. It was standing room only to find a church and space after 9/11. But very soon, within days, in fact, it was forgotten. And so it will be the coming of the Son of Man. And the churches will be full if the Lord were to come today. The churches would be full, repenting, just like after 9/11, but not repenting unto the Lord. They would be remorsing in what they had missed, and that Christ paid an enormous price for the church in the United States to enter, and what a disgrace and humiliation it would be if very few from the United States or to gather before the nations at the glorious coming of the Messiah. And that's the purpose behind the holy fasting. It's the entering into the kingdom of God. It's to prepare to meet the Messiah. It's to turn and repent from sin. It's not an exercise to be more spiritual than someone else. It's not an exercise that has any worldly focus whatsoever. But now, with judgment looming over the land, and the word of the Lord has gone out, and he's a righteous God, so for sure, we will righteously be judged. And the nation has piled debts, and piled spiritual debts to the rooftops. And just as we are the largest debtor nation on planet Earth, in the natural realm, before we got there, we were a massive spiritual debtor. A nation that once used to export the gospel and missionaries and wonderful works to the Lord is now a spiritual debtor. We have reverse missionaries coming to a lost church in a lost country. And they do come from Kenya, and they do come from other parts of the world as well. In fact, they fast and pray for the United States of America, because the church has so miserably fallen. And well did Christ prophesy when Christ said, not one stone would be left upon another. And that's exactly what we have to the United States of America. But the road back is through repentance. And to make that successful, the Lord did not leave us without powerful, powerful tools, as he did with Daniel, Israel, Nehemiah, Paul, the apostles, and holy fasting unto the Lord, so that the mighty Holy Spirit can show us where we have sin in our lives. For our hearts are idol factories. They manufacture many idols. And as you fast, you will find, even if you fast for just a portion of the day, you will see a number of idols and addictions begin to rear their ugly heads. It is possible to remove the computer addictions, television, entertainment, video games, Facebook, movies, sports addiction, pornography, and masturbation for a day without any medical harm whatsoever. Unlike food fasting, where we have all of these addictions, the salt and the sodium and the sugar and the fats and the oils, and there is medical risk with some Americans because our diets are that poor. As one person put it, a dear friend in Ohio said, if it's like running a car on 50% gasoline and 50% water, the body's not going to run very well that way. I mean, that's exactly what we've done in the United States of America with our food. And so fasting an entire day is something that most believers will have to build up to, and that's okay. It's not a failure if we just fast a portion thereof on the food, and then the Lord will build from there. But these other addictions that we do without even thinking of, even on Sabbath, are certainly things that we could fast unto the Lord, and that would be honored as well. And you'll be amazed at how many addictions you actually have. And another one that is often overlooked is even the working addiction. And so many people were taught a puritanical work ethic in the United States of America from very young, and that is you can work day and night, and it's never considered sin. But the Lord gave us a Sabbath. We know when the Israelites gathered sticks on the Sabbath, it was cut off. We know that if the Israelites gathered more than they were required to include the Sabbath, again, that was sin. And the Sabbath was holy. But we don't do that in the United States. We work, many of us work 7 days a week and don't even realize it, with work email or conversations about work, reading work documents. Some people do have professional jobs and they'll spill over into the seventh day, but they won't even take the eighth day off and they'll just keep running. And we read the scripture where they languish over the fact that the markets are closed. And we see even back in earlier times in the Old Testament that they were not too terribly happy about not being able to trade wheat. And we see the exact same thing today. We have trading junkies and market junkies and financial junkies. And so, the holy fast unto the Lord, these are things that we certainly can remove for an entire day and fast unto the Lord. And the believer will be astonished at how many other addictions will be revealed, things that we take for granted, specifically in our culture. They're sin to the Lord, and it's an abomination. To work nonstop is to make work an idol and not the Lord. And some do work out of fear because they fear flesh and they fear unemployment and they fear poverty and they fear the Lord won't take care of them. And yet the Lord tells us we do have 6 days to work, but a seventh day is a day of rest, is a holy day unto the Lord. Fasting and holy fasting to the Lord is a great start on the highway of holiness, the Isaiah chapter 35 highway of holiness. It is the road that is narrow. It is the road of righteousness, road of holiness. The fasting and holy fasting to the Lord will reveal, guaranteed, absolutely guaranteed. You can call Pastor Lou, you can write Pastor Lou, email, whatever. Guarantee, even on the first day, even if one does not go an entire day, even the portion that the Lord will begin to show sin and reveal sin, and that's actually very glorious. Otherwise, we live in deception and perish, and then we have the opportunity to repent and return to the Lord. Because we do hear, well, we don't know what to repent of, and oftentimes that's true because the heart and the fibers of the heart will hide sin. And fasting and holy fasting to the Lord will reveal sin. That's it for this segment of holy fasting. And we'll return the next segment after the Nakuru International Revival, the Nakuru Mega Revival going on in Kakamega, Kenya, August 9th through the 11th. I highly recommend tune in to JesusIsLordRadio.info. That's JesusIsLordRadio.info. It'll be broadcast live from August 9th through August 11th in Nakuru, Kenya. It will be the greatest revival of all time and in the church, and speaks to specifically the Joel 2:28 end time. You actually get a chance, even if you're here in the United States, to see it firsthand, live as it's actually being broadcast. And it will be absolutely a blockbuster. So until the next segment, and as the Lord leads, shalom, shalom.